Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today we'll discuss the article by Rollins et al. Titled, Age and Strain-Related Aberrant Calcium Release is Associated with Sudden Cardiac Death in the ACTC E99K Mouse Model of Hypertrophic Cardiomyopathy. This article published September 8, 2017. Joining me today are Associate Editor Gary Lopeshuk, Lead Author Stephen Marston, and Content Expert Susan Howlett. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is not an uncommon form of cardiac hypertrophy that can lead to some serious consequences in patients, and one of these is sudden cardiac death. The hypertrophic cardiomyopathies are caused by mutations in genes that primarily encode sarcomeric proteins and may modify calcium transients in the heart. Steve Marston and his co-authors have developed a transgenic mouse model with a cardiac actin mutation to examine the mechanisms behind this sudden cardiac death in a mouse model and the role of cardiac calcium transients in this process. And I wonder, Steve, if you wouldn't mind sort of giving a little overview or highlight of the key findings from your studies.
Right. Actually, this wasn't a model that was intended to study sudden cardiac death. We developed this model as a model of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy some 10 years ago and found that it had all the hallmarks of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy that you find in patients. But also, there's quite probably unique property for a transgenic mouse, that there was a high incidence of sudden cardiac death. So we were getting more than up to 40% of the mice were dying. And they all died at the same time over a short period, around 40 days old. So we thought that this is the important thing was to actually study the mice at that time when they were just about to die, rather than at the traditional 4 or 5 months where they're fully adult. So really the big questions we were asking was, why do they die? And even slightly more obscure, why do only some of them die? It looked as if maybe we were dealing with two populations. So I teamed up with Ken McLeod, who's an expert on this. We started our study of how the calcium handling was altered in these young mice in comparison with older mice. Prime finding was that when we looked at the calcium transients and myocyte contractility, in the young mice, they were hypercontractile and they had a higher calcium transient, which is sort of counterintuitive because this is would make the effects of the higher calcium sensitivity in the myofibrils worse. Whereas when we looked at the adult mice, about 5 months old, these would be the ones that survived the sudden cardiac death, then they had quite normal contractility and they had a lower calcium transient than the non-transgenic. So it seemed to be that they were getting two quite different behaviors depending upon the age of the mice. And we then looked at calcium waves and calcium sparks. And I think to summarize a long story, the spark mass from myocytes in young mice, the transgenic mice had a larger spark mass and they had a wide distribution. So it appeared from the distribution that there may be in the transgenic young mice, there was two populations, one with a normal spark mass and one with a higher spark mass. Whereas when we looked at the adults that had survived, they were all the same, transgenic and non-transgenic, and they were the same as the non-transgenic young animals. So that led us to believe that there was a proportion of animals, that transgenic animals, that had a high spark mass, and that this would be associated with the sudden cardiac death. In other words, that was a population of young mice that were going to die.
Well, that's very interesting data, Steve. Susan, do you have some questions you'd like to ask Steve about the study?
Certainly, Gary, and thanks for the opportunity to comment on this really innovative and interesting paper and maybe bring out a few extra ideas. Just following up on the idea that there's spontaneous calcium release and more frequent sparks in the transgenic mice, So this actually does suggest there may be more frequent arrhythmias. So I wonder, Stephen, if you have actually measured, have any electrical recordings, or if you have plans for such studies and what that might look like.
This is a rather difficult thing to do. Yes, Christina did look at a few mice measuring ECGs. So the data is not sufficient to consider publishing, and the N number is pretty small. But there was more sinus arrhythmia, and there was missing P waves, for instance. So there was she calculated an arrhythmia score, which was 0.03 in the young non-transgenic mice and 0.5 in the young transgenic mice. And we did actually have an example of the effect of challenge with isoprenaline, where instead of getting an inotropic response, we got a flat response, and within a few seconds, the animal went into a heart block and ultimately ventricular fibrillation and died. So, yeah, there are such abnormalities as you might hope from or might predict from the abnormal calcium handling, but not sufficient to put in a publication.
Thank you for that. Another really interesting aspect of the work is your observation that actually the background strain for these transgenic animals really seems to affect the observed data. And you find that the presence of a C57BL/6 background actually seems to attenuate sudden cardiac death in a transgenic. Is this a generalizable thing? Is this seen in other models of disease on this hybrid background?
Oh, I think it is. By the way, this was sort of one of the accidental things that happened during this project, that we sent some of our mice, which were on a hybrid background of BL/6 and CBACA, sent some to Katja Gemlich in Oxford, and she bred them up on a pure BL/6 background, because that's what they do there, and reported back and said, well, they never die. So this was very interesting. So we brought the bat mice back to London, and they don't die, and studied them. So to answer your question, is this a known phenomenon? I'm sure it is. There are a number of publications that have shown that susceptibility to arrhythmia in mice strains varies enormously. And the BL/6 appears to be one of the ones that is more resistant to arrhythmia than others. The strain of mice which you use for transgenic models, I guess of any disease modeling, is going to make a heck of a difference. And it's rarely studied. I think it could cause a lot of trouble to some people.
It's interesting that you find that between, it looks like 20 to 40% of the transgenic mice die at approximately 40 days of age, but the rest survive. I know that you have linked this to the background of these hybrid mice, but I wondered if there's any other thoughts on why some of the mice survive beyond the mouse strain argument. For example, we've done work on measuring frailty, for example, as an estimate of overall health. So are some of the mice who die suddenly, do they look less healthy than the ones who don't, or have you tried to look at this?
I don't think we've really been able to look at that. When they die suddenly. So I think there's instances where a mouse has been handled looking perfectly healthy and then has died within about 60 seconds. The age is the important thing, that this 40-day window, which is very, very consistent, and we've been having it in our mice for 10 years now, is the time when they've just finished their growth spurt, and the body is actually grows faster than the heart, so there might be a deficit in heart capacity at that stage, and they're just then entering puberty. So I guess it's a time in their life when the heart might be at its most vulnerable, so that any exterior factor that might provoke arrhythmias is more likely to be found at this age.
So, Steve, these are very interesting findings. I wonder if you can speculate on whether any type of parallel situation may occur in the humans. For instance, does an active mutation have different effects in sudden cardiac death and calcium transients, depending on the race or age or sex in humans? Is there any information on that, or would it be purely speculative at this time?
Well, there's some information. The reason why we chose this mutation as our model in the first place was because there's been studies in Spain with a large number of patients, and there's upwards of 80 known patients who have this one mutation in northwest Spain, and they're all being studied as a cohort. In general, sudden cardiac death is not particularly common in that group of patients, no more so than other mutations.
Well, thank you. I think your studies provide some important insights into what has happened to calcium transients in these type of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and gives a lot of food for thought for future studies. So I'd like to thank Stephen Marsden and his colleagues for publishing an excellent paper, and for Susan Howlett for providing some important questions to highlight what this study was all about. So thank you very much.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.